Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another reality show hosted by Golden Hawk. Join Golden Hawk as she travels down the rabbit hole, exploring many of life's mysteries and adventures. Because here at another reality show, we're not afraid to let our imagination soar and our intuition run wild. So relax, get comfortable, because for the next 2 hours, we're inviting you to open your heart, spread your wings, and fly. And now, here's Golden Hawk.
Hello! Hello, everybody! Welcome to another reality show. I am your host, Golden Hawk, and I am stoked for tonight's show. Tonight, I basically invited on, you know, two beings who so get the wisdom of the extraordinary in the ordinary. And, you know, let's just get right to it. We've got the delightful, the enchanting, the brilliant Janine Kimmel. Yay, Janine!
Hello, everyone. Happy to be here.
And our very, very... Hi, baby. Yeah, no, we got... I'm going to introduce Kevin. And our really very special guest whose presence has been felt beyond from the show on many weeks, including the Mystical Mother Earth show, our beloved friend Kevin Gonzalez.
Yay!
Hey. Welcome to the show, Kevin.
Thank you again, Golden Hawk, for this opportunity. And Janine, this is so beautiful, and I'm just eternally grateful for what you guys have done, really.
Oh, sweetheart, we were all born for this moment. Because, right, this is,
yeah.
I've been totally getting a sense of people need to know about the being because they're feeling like they're failing at the doing. So, you know, it's like, it's very easy to connect with the people who are being. I know who's being out there. I know who's being. and you know, it's not about the doing. You know, it's about the being and the genuine, you know. Okay, and kind of talked myself into a bit of a corner there. Yes, but damn it, it's about the being. Can't talk anymore about it right now.
Okay. You amaze me. You amaze me, Golden Hawk, because we keep having the same words all day. I just posted on the events page, I just posted that today I was visited in the – I went up to the beach and – I was along the ocean, and I looked up, and there was a seal watching me from the water. And and this is how I explained it, that the seal was in the ordinary comes the most wonderful visits, and this visit by the seal was so welcome to the nature of my being.
Nice, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, I just felt like the visit was just what I needed, and it was my being. So I just found that there you are again, saying the words that I'm using too.
Right on, babe.
It's always so much fun.
Yeah, it is fun, and it's very real. The connection, to be honest, the connection me, Kevin, and Janine already feel. We're not the only ones out here feeling this. You know, it's like, you know, I hear people say all the time, like, you know, isn't it weird? I knew who was on the phone, and, you know, if they say that to me, I'm like, why weird? Why can't it be? Isn't it great? Isn't it, you know, sensational? Isn't it fabulous? I knew who was on the phone. It's like, you know, let's get out of the dark ages already. It is, we're in 2012. We're essentially, you know, we're going to be aligned with the galactic's core by December, but from galactic time frames, January to December, we're already aligned with the galactic core. You know, it's like, so let's just accept that, you know, the consciousness that we're now experiencing, it's not weird. It's so organic. It's so natural. The time is now for us to remember this.
Totally.
Nature is remembering this. We are nature, and nothing weird about being natural. Shit, it's weird to be artificial.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes so much effort to be artificial. But,
right on.
I mean, being, like you said in the beginning of the show, being is just simple. We get lost in the doing, but once we just sit back and just allow that powerful energy of life to flow through us, I mean, it's just such a simple, organic experience, just like you said. Totally.
And it is, and when it's happening, it's such a reminder of, because really, today's visit by that seal, it just felt perfect, you know. I don't know, whatever I needed, that seal gave to me by visiting me. And,
And what were the attributes? You said you wrote down the attributes.
Oh, yes, I did. I looked up just a short little explanation of what the meaning of the seal totem is. And it's agility, intuition, and a kinship with the inner voice and clairaudience. And that's very, very congruent to, you know, myself and what I've been experiencing.
Definitely.
And Golden Hawk can testify to that.
Yes, I concur.
I concur.
Yes, me and the seal, we had it together, you know. We were conniving behind the waves.
what's so beautiful is it wasn't just that I saw the seal in the ocean. You looked up and the seal had his head or her head poked out of the water looking right at me, and it was
a connection.
Right on. It wasn't just like I saw this, and it was just, you know, it was beautiful, and it stayed like that, you know, so maybe, I don't know, 45 seconds and to a minute, but it was such a beautiful connection, and, you know, something I just felt great by seeing that little seal.
Okay,
so,
somebody's got their computer on, and it might even be me. We got to mute our computers. Yeah, and somebody's echoing. Kev, do you have your computer on?
No.
I'm
still echoing?
I don't know. I was hearing it when Janine was talking.
Oh,
I hope I don't echo. I can always call back.
No. My computer won't let me mute. Did you hear it a little bit?
No, I'm saying I hear her well and clear.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I hear it clear as well. I heard an echo in the back, but okay, listen.
Okay.
I think it's mine, and for some reason my computer won't let me mute my thing, so I don't know what that means. We'll play by ear. Keep going.
And also today, another beautiful surprise was I received from Susan the two most beautiful natural gifts that she created with dried mushrooms and bark and moss, and there's one's just this magical herbal medicine bottle that you and she put the word wonder on it, and I thought, how perfect, you know. And
that's beautiful.
And then this other beautiful candle that's covered in bark and moss and a dried mushroom, and the scents alone could make you crazy, but they're just beautiful. So I wanted to say thank you if she's listening. And it was another surprise that, you know, just lifts the heart like the seal did. You know, so, you know, or an ordinary day with extraordinary things. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you to the seal. Thank you to Susan. Thank you to you guys.
Absolutely. Well,
thank you, Janine. Thank you, Janine.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because this is what it's all about. It's just showing up. I mean, so many people have been writing on Facebook, which I'm loving, at least I'm resonating with, is this whole idea of it's divine timing. And divine timing is so different than mentally constructing to get what we want. That, I mean, it's miles of difference, you know, what your mind, you know. I got a job this week, actually. Was it this week? It was this week. And, I mean, I have plenty of time to talk about, but the bottom line is this is a single mom. She's either in her late teens or early 20s. And what she's looking for is basically somebody to be her baby's mother, why she goes to work, why her mother goes to work, and why the grandmother, you know, is, I guess the grandmother's home, but, you know, I guess the grandmother, I haven't met her yet, so... She must be, you know, too old to care for the infant. And so, essentially, nobody's watching over my shoulder. I've got a family that just said, take care of my kid because I don't have the time to. And this is exactly what I know how to do best. Because, I mean, I've been a nanny for the privileged pretty much most of my career, and I didn't realize how much it was going to make a difference that the job I have now, I mean, they're hitting my pay rate, which is outstanding, but it goes so much further than that. I mean, it's like I'm literally inheriting a baby 15 hours a week. I mean, he'll be in my care. I can come and go as I please. There's nothing I can't do. I mean, nothing. I have full reign. And I've had this opportunity I created once before. In fact, it was the very first infant I had ever taken care of over 20 years ago. And my excitement to do this is like, this goes beyond the charts. And, you know, for anybody who's following the show, you know that the last job I had just a couple of weeks ago, the mom was like riding my ass like she was all over me like flies on poop. I mean, telling me, put your hand here. Don't put that here. You know, talk too much. Talk too less. Talk the blah, 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 blah. It's like I actually quit because she was annoying. That's what she was. And I couldn't, you know, I was establishing something with the baby. And I had said to Janine, I go, I get it. All the part-time hour jobs are going to be kind of mother's helpers, because I was like, moms don't really go to work for just 15 hours a week. You know, that would be somebody who's working from home or just needing some help. And literally, of course, the scenario shows up that, you know, well, it is 15 hours a week, and the mom does go to work for longer than that, but the girl... My boss, the mom, her mother will relieve me when she gets home from work at like 5. And I'm like, you know, I couldn't have called it that it was going to be a young woman, you know, with a situation, you know. I mean, I love it. They both have tattoos. I have a feeling I'm going to get my first tattoo working around this family. I just know it. I can already feel the itra a hawk wants to be on my body. I know that. But anyways, I mean, they're cool. They're like, I mean, they were, the daughter's like going, oh, yeah, he grew up around rap and metal music. And I'm going, okay, well, I don't exactly listen to rap or metal, but, you know, I can jam with Zeppelin. I'll keep him in some kind of rock and roll. And it's so funny because Raina, the other woman that I worked for, specifically told me when I brought my MP3 player in, no rock and roll. I'm like, okay, you know, it's your kid. So I was, you know, doing the Carpenters and nice, easy, sweet music. And Kelly, my mom, she's been, you know, rapping and metal when she was pregnant. I'm just, the diversity and the freedom, and all of it comes down to because it came to me. I mean, I knew what I wanted, and I had enough courage that when I got the job with Raina, you know, I spoke my truth and said, listen, I can't do this job. This is not right placement. I mean, that's kind of the word me and Janine have been using during this whole process of me finding a job, right placement. And, okay, you know, it took a lot of courage. I had not even had a nibble in like 8 months. And Raina was the first one that I not only nibbled, but I got, you know, she paid me a few weeks. You know, I had some money coming in. And I went, you know what, I'm still not going to stick around for this. You know, in other words, it was golden handcuffs. It was money that was, I mean, I was coming home sleeping 17 hours. It was like she was physically draining me, because it wasn't just that she was telling me what to do. The truth was she didn't trust my ability to take care of her son. Okay. And, you know, I've lost a lot of jobs because of my spiritual beliefs and, you know, being a cuckoo bird and all that. Mm-hmm. But when someone started questioning my ability to nanny and take care of a baby, I mean, I'm telling you, it was like, that hit me to my core. And it was like, sorry, I won't give you the right to do that. I won't give you the space to do it because you're wrong. I do know how to do this. I know I do. And, you know, had the courage to quit, and 2 weeks later, I get a job that I can't even call this work. Kelly is going to, this whole family is going to be adopted, extended family. I know it. And I have to say this on the air, and then, Kevin, I'll definitely let you talk. No, I know. You're just here with us. It's all good. But as everybody knows from Mystical Mother Earth Show, I've been talking a lot about stars. I've been seeing stars on houses. Not stars in the sky, but 5-pointed pentacle stars. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going through Kelly's Facebook page, and just recently last week, I finally was like, all right, I'm going to post the star on my Facebook page, and I picked what they call a nautical star. And they're very nice. I see them a lot around here where Scott lives because we live by the ocean. So I'm going through Kelly's Facebook page, and I get to a picture on her photos, and she's got two tattoos, one on each shoulder, each of a nautical star. I mean, I just damn near shit. I went like, no way. I called Janine. I've seen the stars. That's what they were trying to do. I didn't realize I was supposed to be looking for mom's shoulders. I mean, I didn't know. But it was just so, it was like the seal. It's just a confirmation of, this is my job. And this is where I'm supposed to be. This is the family I'm supposed to work with. This is the baby I'm supposed to be with, you know. And the same thing I got from the star was that we're all protected. Mm-hmm. Under this star, you know, because my brother used to say to me, you were just born under a star or something. Like, he used to think that my life was so easy, but he never really, he thought it was easy because he would see what happens when you do the emotional work, you know, when you face your demons and, you know, look at yourself honestly in the mirror and, you know, and basically face your shit. I mean, he's never done that. So he's like, everything comes to you so easy. And it's like, you know, check the backstage, bro. You know, I'm working my ass off to make this easy. This life looks so easy.
Right. Have the courage to take action like you do when you feel something's not right placement, even though to a lot of people be like, no, play it safe. What are you doing, you know?
And right. It took you 8 months to get a nibble. Where are you going? Yeah. That's pretty cocky.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like, I'm going to find perfection, damn it. I didn't know
for
that
better,
at the time.
You know, we're right alignment, you know?
Well, exactly. And that, which is where I started from, is that is the divine timing because soul sends that to you. I didn't create this with my mind. I didn't set an intention for a single woman, you know, with a baby, any of this. I didn't intend it, but oh my God. Like I said, this is not a job. This is perfection for me. I mean, I'm needed. This is not the privileged. I resonate with the whole, just who they are. And, you know, I'm like a big sister. I'm literally a big sister coming in, you know, to help a family out and to do something that is so natural. I can do it, you know, I was with my eyes shut, but no, of course, I'll do it with my eyes open. But it's a fabulous. I like living the examples we talk about. You know, if you're going to talk about it, show it with your life story. You know,
Amen. Right?
I mean, nothing worse than people talking
really.
And not walking. Pardon? Okay.
I was saying congratulations really on the whole thing. It sounds like you're doing some good work.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Right? Well, you know, I was patient enough to let it happen. That is. Patient and courageous, both, you know, because I know things come to us first sometimes, and we jump on that, and, you know, but, you know, it's like we're still in the tweaking process. So if it's not perfect, if it's not, like, so off the hook awesome, because that's what everybody seems to be saying we can manifest in 2000. Not just good, but shit, off the hook, amazing. Right? Because I mean, I know we all got stories to share about this, and this is not necessarily also about money, people. That's not off the hook. Awesome is when I'm now supplementing my life with a baby. I mean, you just like I get to be a mom for 15 hours a week. I was talking to, I'm sorry, I keep talking a lot. Scott, Kevin, you talk.
Well, I
want to hear from you. I've got enough radio shows, trust me. I want to hear.
Well, you know, I mean, there are a few things to say. I mean, I do enjoy listening to your stories and what you have to say. I mean, it obviously has value. Everyone has wisdom to share. That's the thing,
right,
and that's
on.
Why.
Right on.
So, I mean, if you mentioned the word manifest and how people are manifesting these things, and personally I feel it's getting easier for people to manifest things, and especially with these new energies coming in and how we say, but I have a story.
Great.
Yay! Good. That's what we like around here.
It's a quick experience that is, well, you guys can judge it after I say it, but here's the thing.
Okay.
This happened sometime last week, around there, where I woke up in the morning and I was feeling kind of good. I was feeling like great calm energy, but I felt the urge to look up more information about manifesting, the art of it, the techniques, the law of attraction itself, because I felt like I really needed to understand it and begin truly applying it.
Okay.
So I was spending the day watching a few videos. I came across this wonderful, amazing video by Darren Jacklin. I'm sure you guys have heard of him. Never heard of
him? Actually, no.
He's well known, but he was coined the Mega Manifester because of how he's one of the most consistent at applying these techniques of manifestation. And, I mean, he just has so many nice tools to share with everyone who's willing to listen and apply it.
Right.
But so I was getting familiar with these techniques. I was studying them. He talks about virtualization, how it's not just visualization, it's more of understanding the auditory, visual, and kinesthetic perceptions, which, you know, the five senses. So, you know, he talks about feeling things, he talks about smelling it, and not just really focusing on having the picture of it in your mind.
Okay.
But so I was, again, familiarizing myself with these techniques, and I felt, you know what, I should apply it today. And throughout the day, I was thinking of how I should apply it and seeing where I can get this example and this evidence, this confirmation by the universe that this is total truth. So it was about 5 o'clock, and I had the idea of calling one of my friends. His name is Herb, one of my best friends. He's probably listening to the show right now. He might call him later.
Hey, Herb! That's good.
Yeah.
What's his last name? Well, yeah, tell him. Hi, Herb!
Herman.
He's on Facebook. Herman. Hi, Herman.
Herman. Yeah, Herman is his last name.
Oh, Herb Herman.
Herb Herman's his full name, yeah. And Herman's last name.
Wow, what a great name. I love it. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And everybody else who's listening to the show, we love your name, too. But anyway, I had the idea of calling my friend because I wanted to talk to – he's always helping me to get more clear about certain things, to balance my life and get things in perspective. So I felt like sharing some of the information I reviewed earlier that day with him so I could get clear about manifestation, how he's applying it. And I just had the idea, you know what, I'm not sure if I should call him. And obviously with the law of attraction, if I intend that he's going to call me, he'll obviously call me. So
okay.
I just set a simple intention for him to call me, and I was like, all right, but I wasn't so sure yet. I was in the initial stages of attraction. And so it was an on and off idea, and it comes to about 5:30, and I'm sort of thinking about this on and off, but then I feel like, you know what, let me practice these things, let me put this manifestation into progress and real full force throttle. So I'm saying I'm going to give him 5 minutes to call me. And he's gonna call me at exactly 5:35. So what I'm doing is I'm practicing this technique. So I'm going through the motions. I'm listening to the phone ring. Actually, you know, I'm picking up the phone. I'm hearing his voice, and then 5:35 comes, and I can sense a hint of doubt, and I allow it to fly by, and he doesn't call. But then a minute passes, and I'm like, okay, you know what? Manifestation is about persistence. It's about consistency. It's about faith. So let's not quit. I'm like, let's not quit. It's 5:36, and I'm like, okay, with 10 minutes of undeterred focus, of complete faith, and practicing these techniques, there is no way that he will not call. So I have this in my mind, and I'm practicing for 10 minutes straight, nonstop, and then 5:46 comes. I'm staring at the phone. I see it turn into 5:46. I'm like, okay, now. He's going to call now. 5 seconds pass. I see him on the caller ID. He's calling.
Nice!
So it's just, I mean, for me, it was just a powerful moment of confirmation, of spiritual connectedness. I just felt like I could do anything in that moment.
Wow.
I felt like I don't know what I can't manifest right now. I really don't know what.
Well, I love what you said about that you feel the manifestation this year is stronger than ever. And probably more rapid, and you know, the energies, and I do think that, I mean, I think since I've noticed, Golden Hawk and I have noticed since we started the Mystical Mother Earth show, it just feels like there's been acceleration of, you know, trusting and, you know, amazing things happening about, you know, our connection and changes in her life and positive changes in my life. And it just, you know, I have been feeling it. And I know you have, Golden Hall.
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah,
I mean, it's palpable. That's the word I keep writing. It's palpable.
Yeah.
Whatever's happening, this is. It's not just in our minds. You know, it's in our space. Reality is changing. Go ahead.
One of the things I've noticed also is, and this is just a different, just a different version of the same thing, but I've noticed that the unexpected is happening a lot. Like, it's just, it's like, it's coming out of nowhere. Well, I love that, out of nowhere, but that's probably not accurate. But it just feels like out of no, you know, the unexpected, where even Monday night, the show just went in this way that was completely unpredictable. And that's happening a lot, where just these wonderful things are showing up. And, you know, I think trusting that and not, like you said before, Golden Hawk, it's not weird. It's natural.
Exactly.
Right. And so you get more acquainted and comfortable with no longer using that word, like, can you believe? Because I can even do that. Can you? And, you know, I've got to change that going, of course I believe it now. You know, but
yes.
I think you're right that it's more prevalent now, and it's more visceral, and it's just apparent. So it's and your story, not only was it great, but it really was funny.
I like the momentum building of the story, you know, because, you know, me and Janine, we talk about perseverance all the time. This
we
is,
do.
Because as much as he called
tenacity.
And... It's very important to be, in my humble opinion, to be in a line when it's in divine order. You know, the amount of effort truly that it takes, you know, is a dink. You know, I wish I had a crystal.
You,
it would have been sounded so much better with crystal. Pardon?
No, I'm saying you start to enjoy the process. I mean, it's like
you're
really
right. Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I was going to say, when you're really manifesting something, it's really not worth doing it if you're not going to be enjoying the whole process of it. You might as well stop. I mean, it's true manifestation is in enjoying the whole consistency of it, enjoying the whole process of the manifestation, of offering this thought deliberately so that you can manifest what you desire.
Yes, right on. That's a great – see, that's a subtle point that – if it ain't fun, don't do it. Because, you know, I remember when people used to say, like – when I would look at, like, how can I put this? The image I would have of, like, very successful businessmen. And I would hear their stories. And, you know, as you got into their story, they were at the top of their game in business. But their family and their relationships were shit. You know, it's like there was a price that had to pay. I mean, there was always this price that had to be paid for that kind of success. And, you know, I just remember that sticking with me because, you know, I've been noticing it with a lot of things where, like, I've been noticing it in the spiritual community, people with gifts, like natural gifts, you know, psychic, clairvoyance, you know, talk to the dead, whatever their frequency gifts are that are natural. Hold on. Bless you! they focus on nurturing their gifts. They focus on marketing their gifts. They focus on the gifts. But it's like, that's the spirit part. What are you doing on the human side? Because guess what? It's the human housing the gifts. You know, when we're fifth dimensional and the human's quasi-physical, meaning we can, you know, be male, female, Asian, black, whatever, okay, then I can see letting go. But when we're still physically embodied in the third and fourth dimension, the truth is the physical, this is the other side of yang or yin or whatever, that it's not just a gift. You know, how are you holding up on a day-to-day basis? You know, because with all the gifts coming is also, you know, the pendulum swinging both ways. It's our gifts, and it's everything that curses us, that makes humanity, makes being human incredibly challenging. And so you want to nurture the human side, which is, well, what we were talking about, the virtues of, like, being able, compassionate, the ability to see something dark and ugly and own it as self. That's a gift. That's a gift. Go ahead. Go speak. Everybody.
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, because we're here to express unconditional love. We're here to just break those strings.
Exactly.
I mean, if we're just focused on loving the kind neighbor, but ignoring the rude neighbor, I mean, what kind of love is that? That's that old love that really doesn't have much depth or power.
Exactly.
We're here to express unconditional love, and that's what we got to do.
That's exactly.
I mean, it's not even what we got to do. It's what we.
It's who we are. Because there is really no separation between everything I see that in you that I can't find the divine in somebody else. Is because I can't find that divine in me, not because of them. Their actions are just bringing it up to the surface that I have it in me.
That's my job.
Like that neighbor who you have reaction to, you would say, okay, so what part of me is that I can't be unconditional with myself because
exactly.
I obviously can't be. Yeah. You know, so that forces you to, you know thyself, go within, be unconditional. And you will have a much easier time being loving unconditionally the neighbor because you're loving unconditionally that aspect of yourself that you saw in the neighbor because you can't, you know what I mean?
Inevitably, once you see the unconditional love, once you're experiencing the unconditional love, you literally become the neighbor. I mean, you really are the neighbor.
Yeah.
This is the space between the destinations, you know. Polarity starts, light is a polarized experience. It's a wave. So it has an up and down. It goes up and down, and it has a point A and a point B. What the ascension is becoming the space in between the destinations of point A and point B. You know, then you just start filling up being, you know, you really just become all love because underneath, like I had this total hit today that, the parts of us that are, you know, still battling with belief systems and limitations in the frequency that we live in right now on the planet, that's the part that's in the matrix. But underneath the part that's in the matrix, we have never stopped evolving. Like there's a conscious part of us, it's a real aspect of us that was never tampered with, didn't have any Illuminati or GMO food, that literally went the organic line. And it's like that part of our being is going to meet up with us because in the intention of becoming unconditional loving, we're matching our vibration to a part of us that really is already in evolutionized.
All right.
Let's make up words. Do you got the visual, though? In other words, they've been going along trucking. It's just that we, as a contract, dropped into more density. But there was still a part of each and every one of us that continued in just the exploration of unconditional love, untouched, because unconditional love can't be touched. Nothing phases unconditional love. It doesn't drop its frequency. It looks at everything and goes, divine, divine, all divine, simply perfection. You know, and it's like, it hit me that we're meeting up with that part of self.
That was
you know,
a good
like,
hit, Goldie.
Yeah, huh? That's what I got from that throne again. Got to keep going to the throne.
Wow, I love that we're meeting up with that aspect of ourselves. That's full.
Yeah.
Because you're right. How could unconditional and divine ever be other than that? You know. So
right.
It always existed. It's there. It's very good. It's a very good one.
Thank you, Viv. Yay! I give myself the applause, but it's too much to applaud myself. So. Don't mind me, Kev. You know, I'm just a whack job out here having an ascension. Yes, that's what we're doing.
No, that's very good. I like that.
So, Kevin, share with us any insights lately. Something that Well, an aha. I mean, there you go.
Oh, man. I mean, aha after
exactly.
aha has been happening these past couple of days for me.
Right.
I mean, and, you know, to be honest, I have to cite Joel Osteen. I'm not sure. I mean, he's...
Okay, I know him. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he is... Surely there's still some kind of certain principles that we might not agree with the Christianity and all of that. But
okay.
there is such real truth and power in the way that this man speaks and expresses himself.
Right on.
I mean, you just have
right
to
on.
Hear...
I've watched him. Yes, I have.
Yeah, because he lives this truth. Anybody who watches him could feel that. I mean, he is living this truth. So, I mean, I was inspired by him these past couple of days. And just the optimism that he always talks about in his sermons.
Mm.
I mean, so I decided to express that. You know, I made the decision, you know what, let's go ahead and begin applying these teachings. You know, it's been too long that they've been laying dormant. You know,
right
we have
on,
to start applying
right
this.
Yep.
So I set the intention a couple of days ago in the morning. And I was like, you know what? Today's going to be a great day. You know why today's going to be a great day? Because I'm a blessing. I am blessed. I am a child of the greatest source of the universe. How can you be anything less than perfect? How could you?
Yeah.
I mean, perfect not in the sense that we don't make mistakes in our daily lives, but perfect in the sense of essence.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So I just decided to apply that, and I was like, you know what? Today's going to be a great day. Period.
And it was, right?
I immediately felt a certain upliftment that it was just like, whoa, you know, there's something really deeply resonating with that inside of me. And it just carried on throughout the entire day. The day was a beautiful day. I mean,
I love it, Kev. I know. I love having you on the show. I know.
I mean, at night, and then comes the night, and then I'm telling myself, you know what, I want this to continue. You know,
mm-hmm.
I have a voice recorder that I use for voice journaling and voice notes, and I recorded the optimism. I recorded saying, you know, I'm blessed. I'm a positive being. I'm always evolving. I'm always expanding. I am loved. You know, those kind of mantras too. They always really do help if you apply them.
Absolutely,
I was saying that.
Especially in your own voice. That's also very powerful to
totally.
Listen to it in your words, in your tone, in your expressions. Definitely.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
So the point was that I kept on going with faith. You know, it's that whole consistency principle again. You can't give up. You got to keep on going. When you have that inkling of this is great, and you know what, gratitude is always a great stepping stone. You just be grateful for the gifts that you have instead of focusing on the things that bother you.
Right. By the way, breathing can be a gratitude. You know, who literally.
Totally.
You know, when people are like, well, I have, you know, nothing to be grateful for, and it's like, oh, my God, get on. You know what you do? Go on to YouTube and hit inspirational videos. You know, and look at guys without arms and legs talking to school children. And if it's a physical thing you're going through, or look at a homeless person. Look at a homeless person if it's a financial thing you're going through. And I'm not saying that you have to look at somebody less than you, but I'm saying find the person that, you know, who's connected to their essence, and you'll see that the lessons we're going through right now, and I don't even like to call them lessons, the opportunities that we're going through right now, I truly believe are the opportunities to integrate aspects of ourself that at some point in time in this lifetime, we shunned that part. And that shunning, those parts of us which are very alive and very conscious, in unconditional love, want to come home. Because that's the integration. The integration is, say, I love the part of me that when I used to look in the mirror, I thought I was ugly. Or I love the part of me that when I, you know, used to look in the mirror, I'm just going to keep using that, is, you know, I'm unworthy to be loved. You know, they're very real aspects of me. I spent a good portion of my adolescence and teenage years completely focused on these detrimental feelings of self. And there came a time after I was done numbing myself when those aspects said, are you strong enough that I can come home now? And I'm like... Oh, hell to the yeah, come on. And they don't come home to be changed. They come home to be honored. In other words, honor that you had a feeling that you didn't support yourself without having to make the feeling change into something that supports you. No! Be the unconditional love. It's almost like just be the presence of welcome home. Because and people are like, well, if I take it in, I'm going to get depressed. It's like, no, the depression comes when you resist it. You do not get depressed when you integrate it. When you integrate it, your frequency raises when you allow that shunned part of self to come home. It's an alchemical experience. And because what it's doing is that which was separated becomes whole. And once it becomes whole, it's like, and then it's a magical new being, you know. It's whole. It's holy. It's sacred again. It's not separated. It knows it's not worthy. It's back to its counterpart. But that's not for us to do through our mind, through mantras. That is alchemy's job. Our job is to literally, effortlessly and simplistically, put down the gate and let them come home. Let these beings inside of us. And sit in the woods with it and cry your eyes out. And or sit at the beach and yell and scream in agony, because that you're gonna feel that. You're just not gonna stay that.
Yeah.
You know, if you allow the process to integrate.
Yeah. Well,
it's a powerful tool.
That was very well said, very eloquently said. I appreciate
Thank
that.
Thank you, babe. Thank you.
And
it's because I've done it. You know, the truth is, you know, we can talk about the shit we've lived through. That's what we can talk about.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
I keep telling everybody. Oh, go ahead. No, please.
No, because
Ginny.
When I heard Kevin say, you know, when he woke up, I am blessed. It's going to be a great day. Now, I have a very dear family member who's really confronted with a serious addiction problem. And I was just thinking that maybe the old ways, you know, aren't going to suit the overcoming of that addiction. But I'm thinking that what is like in the movie Moneyball, where it's the new way of thinking. And I'm thinking, well, if you're connected, you're not going that route. If you're feeling grateful and blessed, you couldn't possibly want to, you know, take the way of being addicted to a serious drug. So I'm trying to think, you both of you sparked, you know, a new idea in me. And I know it's not new, you know, positive thinking, all that, but I just feel like there's something, and I'm not quite sure yet.
No,
what it is,
you know what
but,
it is?
But
it's processing,
but it is alchemy.
It is, because, you know, I tend to talk my talk, but I've done 10 years of saying mantras and writing things all over my house, positive affirmations everywhere, under pillows, under cushions in my couch. I mean, I couldn't. So you're absolutely right, Janine, and that, you know, right on. I don't want to become a spiritual snob. You know, that's not my goal. It's not my goal.
Well,
truly.
I know that. But.
Well, meaning I got to honor all, you know, because first you got to understand how, like,
oh,
see what Kevin shares.
See.
Kevin shares how the positive
see.
Really does change your life. Then once
but,
you're
but
in a
really
real, kind of stable
it,
place.
You know?
Exactly.
But I,
exactly.
But I was trying to think of how you help someone who's still in the throes of it. But you know.
Well,
that connection is there, you know, but where is it? I was just trying to, like, you were both talking.
Okay,
and
okay.
You
yeah.
inspired me, and you know, Kevin first, the minute I heard him say, I am blessed, I was like, oh, if he could feel that, you know, my family member, if he could feel that, it would change everything.
Right.
You know, so I was trying, right. like, I was, like it struck me that this is the way of alchemizing, but you know, I know baby steps. I know, yes, you know, writing whatever. I mean, whatever it takes. But there is an alchemy in even those words or those.
I agree,
you know,
with that as well. There's magic in all of this. Yeah.
Yeah. And
no, that's true. That's true. I'm always. Yeah, that's true. That's so, true. So words just, are powerful. Jesus, I do a radio show. I'm missing something here.
No, it just was like, ooh, you know, could this be something that would be helpful for me to share, you know?
Well, knowing the situation as I do, the only thing I would say is, first you got to get him, he's got to stop being in the addiction.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It's consuming, it's all consuming, and it's the demon itself is the addiction right now.
Yeah.
Then you can get to the root of the addiction, you know,
yeah.
And okay, of course, and every step of the way has a potential for alchemy because, you know, I mean, I wanted to quit for, I was doing coke for 12 years. I remember wanting to quit by like my 8th year. It just took
okay.
me 4 more years to actually
right.
get there, you know.
Right, right.
So,
and I can appreciate that because things,
yeah.
you know, I do. So, yeah, so you just, I just wanted to speak up because it was like the movie Moneyball. I was like, "What? What's wait? I'm onto something here. They've kind of made me think of something. You know, it's not always the old way of addressing issues. It's not the old way of handling things. It's you know, I'm all about the new paradigm, the new, you know, working with the energies right now. I mean, this is 2012.
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah,
like
definitely.
Oh, you know.
Definitely.
So. Yeah,
yeah,
so I'll keep you guys
updated. Yeah, I mean,
definitely,
I wanted to add a quick point to what you were saying about the addiction and helping him out. And I think it's again, it's my personal opinion, but I think it's the best way to kind of deal with something like that is to first recognize that you're the one, you can't help him. Like, in the end, in the sense that he has to help himself ultimately.
That's
you know,
brilliant.
I agree. We can't force change on someone else.
Right.
No, he has to. You have to. You can help him see that this is that leaving the addiction is what he truly desires. He has to see it in himself. He has to really feel that yes, I want to let this go. He has to see evidence of how great it will be when he lets it go. How powerful he will be. How free it will be.
Right on.
You know. So I think that's just one of the most important points: is truly recognizing that. That is what he wants. He needs to see that this is truly, or he, she, I don't know, I'm not sure who, but it was
a
family
he,
member.
He.
No, he is
but
right.
They have to see that for themselves.
Yeah. No, you're right on.
No, it's
you're right.
Very,
because
very good.
That's the alchemy happens inside when we say we're ready.
Mm-hmm.
Our own God self, soul self, whatever, higher self, whatever you want to call it, shows up to help us. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, because
that's
when it's coming
point.
From within. It's a great point. It's a great
yeah.
and it's a pertinent point because, again, that divine timing. You know, I can remember when I was telling you gotta quit smoking cigarettes. You gotta quit smoking cigarettes. It's like, you know, I'll quit when I'm ready to quit. You not, you know, you don't like it, don't come to my house. I don't care. You know, there's plenty of ways to take care of this. Just don't come to my house. but you're right, because it's an inside job. And it's an inside job because it takes unbelievable courage in what you know you can be. I mean, I know for me, it was a matter of, I know I can be so much more than what I am. I mean, and I was so successful. I mean, that's the funny part I was telling you. I was such a successful drug dealer. I mean, truly. Very successful, made lots of money. You know, I just had that part of it down. But, you know, of course, doing drugs for those 12 years really whacked me out, you know, where, you know, and that's why I laugh, because I understand what it's like to have, you know, in my awakening, I haven't had financial abundance like I had in those days, but I have had virtuous abundance. I have had courage abundance. I have had just the connection to know that even if everything around me is falling apart, I'll still be left standing. I mean, and when I say I'll be left standing, it doesn't even necessarily mean that I'll live through whatever's going, but even through my own death, I'll survive and I'll thrive. And I'm connected to the eternal aspect of me that, you know, when you play so much in the dark, you know, once you do come out, you really get it. It's like, are you afraid of dying? Oh, hell no, man. Living has been the hell. I'm not afraid to let go of the body, you know, and be free from that aspect. But so then the question then becomes, okay, well, here's the challenge. Are you ready to master being free in the body? You know, it's like, wow, game on, let's play. You know, I am interested in that. Let's see. I mean, that's how it's been for me anyways, you know. And I got it because, you know, when I tried to do everything in my quote-unquote enlightened stage the same way I did when I was in my shadow stage, I have a lot of gifts, but they didn't come from finances. You know, where in my dark stage, they all came from finances. The gifts I'm getting in my enlightened stage are what I talked about on Monday, and those are the virtues, which I am learning is collateral. Virtue is, it's the collateral of the level of intensity you get to play with magic. Because the more integrity you have and the more you know how to handle power from a space of integrity, the more you get. You know, the more influence you start composing. Or as I said with Janine, you start pollinating.
Oh, that's
so,
a good one.
Yeah, that's I don't know where this stuff is coming from. Kevin, you're a great, it's fun being having you on the show because I go empathic with the people on the show. And
totally.
The wisdom I'm getting is your information and your frequency. It's what you're bringing to my experience. It's Janine, can you hear the difference in the thing I've been noticing? And
Yes.
So can I.
I was just thinking, wow, another great hit today.
Exactly. No, that just came right now. I mean, that's
I know.
Yeah, that's Kevin's wisdom. Yeah, right
that's
now. Right, exactly.
Hey, well,
yeah.
you know. Hey.
And listen, you got to get used to being totally adored around here. This is what we do. We just shower each other with compliments and adornment because that, I mean, that's a perfect, isn't that heaven? I mean, that's my heaven anyway. Well, when it's real.
Yeah, you know, I mean, because you can finish if you wanted to say something.
Well, I was going to say I'm not blowing smoke up.
No, I mean, I always think it's important to emphasize, and especially for the listeners, that, I mean, and they always say this, you know, all the great teachers, we're always constantly told, I mean, it's within us. You know, everyone, if they can just quiet themselves and say, instead of saying, okay, I know this, let me say this, how about let's say, hold on a second, what does the heart think about it? What does the heart have to say about this? What does the space of the moment itself right now have to say about anything I'm experiencing? Try open yourself up to a greater view instead of thinking that you know everything. I'm saying this for myself and for everyone.
Brilliant.
Right, because we get wrapped up into that and thinking, okay, this is the way it is, you know, life is like this, life is like that. Life isn't anything totally dense, solid, set in stone. Life is constantly changing. It's a totally evolving, totally ephemeral, you know, it's always fleeting. It's a temporary experience. And once we step back from the temporary forms that always change, we're aware of the eternal form that is always the same.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm definitely experiencing this firsthand. I used to be talking about this so much, but I'm totally applying it now. I'm totally ready to live a fearless life. I'm declaring this right now that I am fearless and I will live a fearless life. And I recommend everyone else to tell that to themselves. What do you got to do?
Call in and say it. Make
in.
A declaration on the air. I am fearless. I'll make it.
Tell yourself
that you're
fearless.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
Own it. Yeah.
Totally. I mean, again, because the subconscious mind takes this information in. I mean, we even have a whole bunch of scientific and psychological experiments that show us that the brain reacts to the imagination the same way that it reacts to so-called reality.
Right on.
You know,
then
the science of brain.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, the science of brain plasticity comes into this. I mean, it's mind over matter the whole time. If you open yourself up to that view, you will see magic in your life. It's period. You guys can testify to this.
It's wonderful.
I can testify. You're absolutely right.
I want to say I'm fearless and I'm
saying it. I concur.
But I'm smiling so much, it's almost like I can't stop smiling. It's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
I don't know if you said something about an endless open landscape, but like that's what I got. It was like something was unfolding as you're like nothing stagnant, nothing is, you know, it's just expansive. It was great. So great. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, and you know, and I'll be honest, you, Kevin, you're bringing the frequency because, see, you're not, you're sharing it in words, but your frequency is the experience of it. Because I mean, I can feel it. I can feel it in our show tonight. That you're not just talking that, you know, because I appreciate people that are doing a lot of the talking about this ascension, you know.
Yeah.
But listen, in all honesty, let's start doing some walk. It's the first step. But, you know, the ones that have been talking for 10 years, all right, start. You got to do the action. It can't, you know, because I told Janine, I go, you know, I would never talk about manifesting abundance because I wasn't. How the hell can I can't talk about it. What can I talk about? Well, here's what I did with my time, why I couldn't make a dime. I worked on my virtues. I checked out my fears. I, you know, integrated a few demons. Well, because that's what I could do. It's being authentic. Let's be authentic because our gifts are not everybody's gift is going to be quote unquote to manifest a Jaguar in the driveway. That's not everybody's gift. Nor does it have to be in a state of being where everybody's manifesting their gifts.
Is that like a big cat?
You nut. Yes, with a lot of engine problems from what I hear.
No, I just imagine looking out there and seeing a giant Jaguar. Like,
you know, I don't know why I picked a Jaguar and not a Porsche. I know that's interesting too. Because if you're gonna manifest a Jaguar from a shamanic point of view, you're basically gonna rip your whole identity apart and eat yourself alive. Go Jaguar! Sorry, I'm off the hook.
But,
see, yeah, me and Jenny are pretty much kooky birds around here. Kevin, what did you just say? Sorry, I didn't catch it.
No, I was saying take the body Jaguar. I don't need it.
Yeah, right. Well, exactly. It's a very it's a powerful totem animal. It's symbolic of death and rebirth in shamanic lore. So it's funny I would pick the Jaguar. It's kind of a double meaning kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, Kevin, have you died lately? Can you share any stories where you've died and be rebirthed?
Well, you know, I do feel like this rebirthing process is definitely happening worldwide and definitely internally, of course. I mean, it's just, here's the thing. It's just a quick change in perspective. It's getting things, it's stepping back and really questioning if the way that you were perceiving was the true way. I mean, I don't want to get stuck in what I think is all true and as if that's certain or anything, but what I mean to say is, where's the clarity? Is it in focusing in darkness or is it in focusing in love?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm.
So it's just realizing that strength, this what we're looking for, basically, is in love. And we just have to begin to focus on it. We have to begin to truly choose to focus just on that. Sure, the old patterns of negativity will come back in, but that's where faith comes in, and that's where the same principle, as I said, consistency comes in. It's about consistency. Continue to focus your attention on what you truly desire, on the love, on the heart, you know? So it's that's what I say has been happening. It's just I've just been agreeing to choosing love. That's it. I said, you know what? I've chosen fear for a long time, and sure, it has its purpose, but it's time for me to embrace my fullest self. It's time for me to expand higher and higher and share that with the world.
Yeah, right on.
And that's what I think this show has been about. And that's why I feel like it's a perfect sign. Is, I mean, you felt, you and Janine, when I talked to you on the Mystical Mother Earth show, you guys felt that I would be sharing this. You guys felt the growth inside of me.
Totally.
Just as I felt it. And that's why I'm here, because I'm ready to express through the direct experience this love.
That's great.
That's deep. I mean, because I can feel it. I feel it. There's a presence and a well-being. You know, what comes with you when you speak there's a bubble of well-being. That's what I'm feeling. Just, you know, you're in the moment, you know, because that's what we always say, you know, it's just about being, if we're in the moment, you know, I don't know whether I'm going to get a job or, you know, shit, a tsunami's going to come in, you know, make my house be underwater. I don't know what's coming down the pike, but I know whatever's coming down the pike in presence, that is my best defense. My best defense is be here fully, be here present, have all my chakras open and engaged so that if there's an intuition or something I need to know, my body will know and respond to it. You know, it's all, I just keep practicing as a daily experience. And when I say practicing, it's not like I'm practicing for the Super Bowl. The practice becomes the way of life. It's just like when people say, I don't diet, I've just changed my way of eating. I mean, and for me, it's not food is not what's doing. For me, the diet of presence is, or the diet of practicing presence just becomes, because this is what 2012 brought to me. I was practicing it enough that at this point, it's now, when I get off center, I'm naturally bringing myself back. I'm naturally drawn to touch a house plant, you know, put my hands in dirt, go sit outside, listen to music that brings me presence, whatever. It used to be very mechanical for me, and it's becoming just the nature of who I am, because like anything, we were kind of programmed when we were growing up, but we didn't necessarily choose our programs. Where the beauty of now is that if there's programs going in that aren't working for you, which you can find out simply through awareness, just look at your life exactly as it is, see the belief around it that is, you know, kind of growing and feeding that experience, and then choose to consciously flip it. Because most of the time what it is, it's exactly the opposite of what, you know, our conditioning is very upside down and inside out, and, you know, there's, quote unquote, I believe, in my humble opinion, there's an agenda for that. But that agenda is not the end of the game, because the end of the game is we're God. You know, all of us have this creator ability in us and potential. And so if there's a belief that's, you know, creating you to, you know, have crappy relationships, look at each belief and start flipping it, you know. And I have found, again, this is where the virtues come in. One of the greatest beliefs for me that I flipped that helped me be a better girlfriend, learn how to relate better in all of my business partners or romantic partners, is humility. Humility is a huge presence where you don't fight to be right. You don't need your shit to be anything other than you work it out yourself, and then whatever that alchemy from working it out yourself, you share with those around you. You know, but it's always about take it within. Humility is a game of self-responsibility, and self-responsibility will produce healthy relationships because there's no codependency going on.
There's no self-seeking through anger.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what we do. We think that the angry person is who I am. So if you see yourself as an angry person, then you're going to attract anger. It's as simple as
totally.
That.
Totally.
I mean, so that humility thing is just absolutely beautiful, because if you're humble, you're recognizing at least slightly that you're complete and that you don't need to defend any position to be yourself. So, yeah.
Very good, yes. It's very much, because my goal is always coming back to sovereignty. Sovereignty is the ultimate partner, from a relating point of view. Two sovereign beings, boy, could you imagine? Well, shit, I'll show you two sovereign beings, me and Janine. I mean, we are, and it's an amazing relationship because there's always support, but never clinging. We don't cling.
Mm-hmm.
Because by choice and by consciousness, I not only can I, but I'm conscious that it's the only way to get it done. I must heal that which is the demons inside me. That's an inside job. She can't heal my demon. She can help point them out to me. She can help give me clarity on them. But the ultimate healing, which is ultimately what I was saying before, the acceptance of, that's my job. Nobody else can do that for me. A boyfriend can't do it. A lover, a drug, a food, a sex, a purchased item. Nothing can do that for me but my choice to sit there and say, come back to the table. Your seat is waiting for you. That's the only thing, you know, I won't say that's the only way you can do it. That's how I'm doing it, because that's how I know to do it. I mean, so.
Beautiful.
Damn it.
What happened?
Thank you. I'm just a feisty dude. I'm feisty tonight. Kevin, you're also bringing feisty to me. I can feel it. I'm just like, it's an electricity. That's what I feel.
Well,
like.
You know, I feel like you're bringing that to me, really. Every time I listen to you, Goldie, it's just like a certain, I'm ready.
Right on. I feel it too, though, connecting so close tonight and verbally and all. I can feel it. I'm ready too. Okay, so let me ask you a question. What's your sense of, you know, the general statement of 2012 and, you know, and you don't have to predict, but in the, what are you sensing?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, as I said, I do feel like there is a new energy coming in that's really beginning to make obvious, make more blatant that the old ways of living are collapsing.
Mm.
The way that I see it is that there's definitely an intensification of this desire within us to live in a higher frequency, to live in a more harmonious way, to actually finally let nature flow instead of just blocking it. I feel like that's what I feel around 2012. If I would say in a brief summary, it'd just be about that. It'd just be about this whole change that really is being asked by all of us at a very deep level. Mm. And that relates to what a few other points that you're making when you're talking about the demons and making sure to accept them and integrate them and let them go.
Right.
I mean, we're always doing that. I mean, we have no choice being who we are, being human and into this existence that we experience. There's no choice but to always be chipping away this false self.
Yeah.
We just have no choice. I mean, that's where you can appreciate every single experience, because you know that every experience is helping you get clearer and clearer about the fact that you do not want to live in this darkness.
Mm.
That's it.
Right on.
I've totally been seeing that. So, I mean, when you express that anger, and I'm talking to everybody, you know, the listeners, I mean, all of us, when we express this anger and these old patterns, I mean, we had to be grateful that, okay, great, it's showing us even more that we don't want that pattern.
Exactly. Anger is an expression of change. And it's okay to want change and express anger to want it. That's the passion. If you look at anger, it's a very passionate emotion. Very passionate.
Oh, totally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if you're not afraid of it, that's learning how to master it. I mean, mastering anger is when, you know, Qigong people, you know, they put a sword up to their bellies and then they bend the sword in half as opposed to the sword going through their belly. I mean, it's like that channeled passion becomes the root of presence that it bends steel. You know, it's like this is tangible stuff. This is not, you know, oh, it's just your imagination. You know, it's like, No, please. You find what? I want to hear what you have to say. Yes.
No. I'm saying I find that to be one of the most amazingly, I'll just say it, ignorant statements you can make.
Right
just
on.
Imagination.
Right.
Just your imagination. Please define imagination for me, please. I dare you. Define imagination for me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying that generally. You'll see. If you really define it, you'll see that, wow, it's really the same thing as reality. It's all subjective experience.
Yeah. Exactly. And in fact, it's contributing to this reality. Because I think there's a bridge between, you know, who was it that said, I don't know if it was Einstein, somebody said, everything that we see in our world, man-made, was a thought first. You know, and you know, so in other words, the whole creative process, which, you know, Janine is masterful with, is the understanding of, you know, it reminds me of like when people go, I'm waiting for the big break, whatever the big break is, whether it's fame or a relationship or health, I'm waiting. It's like, well, hey, you know, I have an idea. Why don't you live out the big break in your imagination? Because I bet you it will come a whole lot sooner. are if you do it that way. It's just a guess, but, really? You know, hey, I believe it's an educated one.
Yeah.
You know? Well, and on top, and because, see, we were all told, especially, I mean, you're not necessarily in our age group, and not that that matters, but being I'm in my mid-40s, you know, we were basically told, you know, daydreaming is a waste of time. Don't waste your time daydreaming. Hit those books.
What a joke.
You know, right? And it's like, again, propaganda. And so there's no need to be angry at the system because it told me that. Now it's just now, as a sovereign creator, which I know myself to be, even if it's not yet my experience, I hold that. Yeah, hell yeah, I declare that in my imagination always. I say, okay, so as a sovereign being, how do I make the imagination more important? Well, first, start using your imagination. Because did you see the movie Shawshank Redemption?
I've heard of it several times. I haven't seen it, sadly.
Okay, that's a great movie, too, indeed. So, well, I won't blow this up. There's one scene where they basically put him in the hole. It's a prison movie. They put him in the hole for, like, 60 days. And when he comes out, you know, the scene is he's eating lunch with, you know, all his cellmates and cell buddies, and they're like, you know, so how'd you do it in the hole for 60 days? And he's like, oh, I had Tchaikovsky and I had Mozart and, you know, Baryshnikov or whatever, these musicians. And they were like, they let you take your records with you? And he's like, no. And I'm not sure if he pointed to his head or his heart. I'm going to point to my heart. He goes, they're inside. They can't take that. You can't touch that part. You know, if you're going to put you in a dark room and call it a punishment, you know, I know a great way, you know, to really screw up authority. Make it a good thing. Go within.
Awesome.
Yeah, that'll really screw up the authority. Because it's ultimately exactly what you want. Because the ultimate journey is within. So, you know, let them take your money, let them take your job, because once you get the within part, everything on the outside, it's not that it becomes our command. There's just the understanding. It's a wisdom to know that all is well. My sustenance is my being. The trust level that something from out of the blue that you had no conscious awareness of can come in to support you in ways that are not just good, they are so, it's orgasmically magical, ecstatically good. You know, that is what, in fact, I highly recommend that we should all be breaking down about now. Don't stop yourself from having mental breakdowns. Don't prevent the mental break. The mental breakdown is the precursor to the magical kingdom that awaits you on the other side of letting go of all this limitation that our minds are holding on to, like, you know, like, I will not do this.
Yeah, I mean,
can you feel it?
It might even be more suitable to say it's not even a breakdown. It's a release. It's a mental release.
Right on.
So
see, you get that, but to be honest, in your 40s, they've been holding so long. Have you ever held your fist in a clenched fist for a while? When you go to open your fingers, sometimes they get locked up. I don't know if you've experienced that, Kev. You've experienced it, Jay?
I don't know if I've done it out of anger, but I have done it out of fun once, I think.
Okay, right. Even just to exactly. Kind of just recognizing, oh, look, now I can't move my fingers. Think of 40 years withholding. You know what I mean? So the older people tend to experience it as, you know, it's got to get ripped out of their head. Their souls are just ripping it out of their beings because
we got to tell ourselves, I think it's important to say this, we got to tell ourselves that we have the right to feel any emotion, period. Just tell yourself that.
Right on. That
right to
is
feel
brilliant.
Any emotion. You know, you're a natural, innocent co-creator, child of the universe. You can express whatever you want. You know, Mercury is not going to say anything about you. Jupiter is going to be fine still. I just think.
Well, and Saturn needs to just sit down and shut up for a while. Jordan says that Saturn is like our big mental. You know, he's the guy.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to run our mental, so that's where that came from. But keep going, sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. I just kind of I randomly said that to say that, you know, you're just a tiny little speck here. The rest of the universe is still going to be moving on all naturally, and you're going to be here expressing your emotions. I mean, it's just a total natural thing. You got to give yourself permission to express whatever emotion. Yeah,
right on. There's no right or wrong. There's only experience. And what I have learned, and which is what I share, and Janine's pretty much down the same, you know, having the same experiences, is when we embrace our shadows, we become our frequency changes. I mean, that's that, you know. So, you know, everybody go and conquer the ego and, you know, battle the demons. You know, I'm inviting them home for drinks and celebrations and sit down, grab a bite to eat. You're tired. And I laugh because, like, in my imagination, okay, did you see Star Wars? Did you see any of the Star Wars movies,
Kev? Yeah.
Okay, remember the bar scenes when, you know, like, there were just all these different beings with multiple heads and, you know, some are kind of oozing this gooky stuff and, you know, Jabba the Hutt, who's, you know, another one who's just kind of, well, that's kind of what our demons look like. You know what I mean? They're just different shapes. And don't expect the, you know, the beautiful part of us. That's not the part we shunned. We shunned the part that is, you know, usually looks the same way it felt. You know, anger will look really, you know, pointy and maybe, you know, hot, you know, and agony will be very slimy, you know, kind of spineless and, you know, kind of hanging out there with pity, who's also just kind of jello-y. And, but, okay, we just want to let them beings be, you know, and they can, you know, they can still come home and grab a cup of hot cocoa.
I mean, those are the beings, those are the parts that need the most love, really. I mean,
like
I said, it goes back to, are you just going to be loving the kindness and just welcoming those aspects? I mean, you're missing a huge point if you just do that. I mean, the people who need it the most are the people in darkness and the people that are experiencing this depression. They're the ones that are really seeking hope inside of their hearts. They're the ones that are seeking these things, you know?
Right on. That's actually, you're right. Because the fact that they're even in the darkness says that, you know, because we're all going to experience this darkness in the third and fourth dimension. Because, hello, it's a dualistic dimension. It's the nature of the dimension. That's why I tell people, it's not about healing the world's polarities and sufferings and darknesses. It's about getting your experience from it. And then when you're done, well, then you'll raise your own frequency and then hop on the train of the fifth dimension.
Transcendent.
But because it transcends. Because it's not about healing, which is the only part that needs to be healed is the judgment that the dark is bad, which as you get from the fourth dimension to the fifth dimension, you start recognizing the divinity in all of it. None of it is bad. It's just all creating an experience, which is what we all came for. We all thrive. Our souls love experience because that's what, in that dimension, that is the, you know, that's what that's what moves us, experience. We don't move from day and night in the soul. There's no time frame in soul. Experience is what moves us. That's what gives us the changes that either help us, you know, see something or repeat something, but it really is, that's our timeline, is, you know, what we get from the experience, because there's no time, so it can't be, you know, it can't be you get older, you're eternal, oops, that doesn't work. You could be 1,269 billion years old and still not get it. But that's okay, right? Because there's still another 1,600 billion years on the, you know, it's just a never-ending,
you know,
never
it's
never-ending.
Well, on Monday, when you were talking about virtues, and then, you know, we got to the fact that love is a virtue, and, you know, to say the least, it's an incredibly powerful virtue. So then Kevin's definitely bringing a new vibe, because he mentioned something, if you're going to be angry, I'm an angry person, then you're going to attract anger and angry people. And then he said something about, and then I thought to myself, so if you're really in touch with the love aspect of yourself, that's amazing. But then he said, don't think that you know the fullness of something. Well, this is my interpretation. When you said something like, don't think you know something, let it open and let more in, or whatever you said. And then, you know, when these things happen, and they happen in real time, like when you declared I am fearless, what happened for me was I got a sense of another magnitude and version of a greater love, which is amazing, because, you know, you can never really right now for me assume that I actually can truly conceive what the full love is. And so what was really amazing was I got another depth of the feeling of love and what it would be, or what it is nice. To be love. And then it's almost hard to describe, but it was a sensory thing for me. And I it was like, there it is. I opened up. I didn't feel like, oh, I know what love is. And then I knew this greater depth of love. And that just happened while you guys were talking.
Nice.
And it's fabulous. It's fabulous, because I remember a great teacher of mine, she asked us to, it wasn't a setup, but she's pretty bright, and she was asking us to define love. And basically, none of us really touched what the depth of love was. And it's a very hard thing to do that, but it's when it happened on the phone here, because when you said, I don't know if you can say it again, but when you said, don't think you know what something is, let it open and it deepen or something, that's what happened for me. When you said that happened.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was really great. And, you know, I thought to myself, how is incredible that we talk about love and we know love is love, you know, and yet when you actually feel that, it's beyond words, really.
Well,
you know,
trumps the thinking about it. It trumps it.
Completely.
It does.
And so, you know, it was just fun, and another one of those things that, you know, I didn't plan on going, I'm going to really feel another depth of love tonight. You know, it just happened.
Right on.
It just happened. You know, just like everything else is just happening. So thank you, Kevin and Goldie, and it was great, you know, and I am not going to believe that I know what anything is. I'm going to let more and more happen.
That's it.
You're welcome.
That's it. So there.
Kev, share. I can feel you want to share. It's bubbling.
Well,
up.
I mean, because the way that she was commenting on what I said, I mean, I really appreciate it. And it is really that receptivity. You know, you were receptive, obviously. You weren't interpreting, I know this, I know that. It's just an opening yourself to really the energy that is here now, available all the time. And that's just allowing it in. I mean, that's what we do when we just really admit that we do not know, that we don't know the way that things work. We can never fathom the universe. Mm-hmm. You just can't do it. You can't understand every particle, every wave, you know, all of these things. You can't do that.
Right.
You know, you can understand all these finite aspects, but who we are is eternal and infinite. So once you just say, like you said, I don't know, let me open myself up to something else. That's it. Just as simple as I don't know. It's just admitting that you don't know these things, unless you're going to open yourself up with faith to something that you really feel intuitively is greater than anything that is called knowledge.
Yeah.
So definitely. I feel it too.
So, Kevin, I got another question. Have you been pretty much aware your whole life? I mean, was there an awakening period for you?
Well,
And I say that in earnest. Do you know what I mean? I'm curious.
Okay. Well, here's the thing.
I have always felt all the time there was a certain, I just always like to say calmness, that I could always feel, really no matter what.
Okay.
It didn't matter what I was in. I was
always aware of
a specific calmness that I know is definitely part of the past life experiences and information that I've gathered from, you know, many lifetimes. But definitely there was, though, a period where it had to do when I was in high school, where I really began to step back and question the way that I was experiencing life. Before my freshman year in high school, I was kind of just letting things go and going with the motion, like, okay, my parents want me to do this, society says this is right. But when high school came, I started to step back and I really asked, hold on a second, you know, who's in control here? Is it my parents? Are they in control of my destiny, or am I the one really living this life? So it was, that's when it really things started to accelerate, and I had to, came my sophomore year, I was experiencing a certain sense of depression because I really felt like the way that the schooling system functioned and the way the society was, the way that we heavily identified with Catholicism as a family here, and so my family is still Catholic, it was just, I felt like there was something missing. And I started to open myself up to a different way of seeing. And I wanted to really feel if there was something else. You know, is there something greater than this we can call robotic lifestyle that we experience here? Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
You know,
totally.
And I really did find that there was.
Exactly.
So I did have to leave high school beginning of the junior year. I had to leave because it got to the point where I felt that the schooling system as it was wasn't offering me anything anymore.
It really wasn't.
Yeah,
I mean, it really wasn't. So I get that. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, and long story short, I ended up leaving the school and I ended up finding these spiritual texts that I was drawn to. I saw some videos. I was introduced to what it meant, what oneness meant, and what that concept was. But even before that, I always did feel, again, something. I always felt that something was. So when I was introduced to these spiritual concepts, I felt like it was just reaffirming what my heart knew was already true. So yeah, it was definitely just like a remembering. Totally.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, right on. I have had those. That's exactly what it feels like, too. Because, I mean,
yeah.
I'm starting to get to the point where in my infinite trust, where my actual actions are coming from infinite trust. I mean, that is what is the guidance of my life right now. There, it's a frequency that is, it's just the magical stuff that it brings is like, you know, it'll bring little magic things like, you know, whether it's, you know, triple digits on a license plate. And I, you know, people are always like, oh, what do those mean? What do those mean? It's like, you know, well, for me, what they mean is you're in alignment. Because when you're doing work from an infinite trust level, it doesn't come, you know, yesterday usually. There's a momentum in a building, and there's a space that, which you were expressing, where as infinite trust, I can enjoy the journey. Where if I'm not getting those supportive daily, you know, the hawk flying up and, you know, it's like, because I'm doing the work of, okay, well, what's in front of me? Well, my fears are in front of me. Work on them. Okay. But there's also simultaneously that which I'm getting in touch with now, that underneath all my, because there's still a lot of me that's mental. I'm left-handed, so my right brain by nature wants to be in control. Not in control, but is the dominant side of my brain, which is the creative, intuitive, you know, imagination side.
Mm-hmm.
But the years of conditioning, you know, being, you know, I wanted to be daddy's little girl and please daddy. I, you know, it's funny because I started having trouble in school. I was a straight-A student until I hit high school. Once I hit high school, I mean, Fs, Ds. I had to go to summer school and take typing and gym because I just stopped going to school for all my electives. You know, I didn't give a shit. I was like, school is not offering me. It's so funny because I didn't realize at the time, because nobody told me at the time, I was going through like a spiritual awakening of authenticity of who I was, and it was so clear I was not these people in school and their goals of college afterwards and more academics, because academics felt so much. I could do them. I mean, I was a straight A student. Being academically inclined was not challenging. It wasn't that I didn't get the work. It was I didn't get it. It was like, why are you teaching me? Why are you filling my head with junk? That's what it felt like. Garbage pails just dumping, and you want me to memorize all this crap. It's like, what are you filling me with? And I was having much more fun smoking my ganj outside, you know, besides the BFW club during school. I was in nature. I was with creative friends, you know. And it's interesting because I've always had an art of I had me and my homeroom teacher in high school. What an amazing guy. I would write my own notes. I would forge his name literally in front of him. He would throw me the list of these like papers you had to sign when people were absent, and he'd go, you know, you go do it at your desk. And like the students would line up, and I'd be forging Mr. Javis's name for all the students in homeroom class. Because you know, there's a charisma, and that's what I was getting, what you were saying. You were talking about somebody before, and I got, Kevin, I got, they had charisma. My short-term memory.
Joel Osteen,
yes. Joel Osteen has a charisma, because there's a presence about him, and you know, and that charisma is in every being I've ever encountered, whether on TV or in my actual space or on the radio. That charisma and that presence, it's almost like what my brother called, there is like this star that lets them do what they want to do, because they're not asking permission to do it. They're showing up going, you know, okay, this is what's going on, right? We all get this? Yeah. You know, it's like, because like what I would do with my homeroom teachers, the very first year I had homeroom, at the end of the season, I bought them a bottle of champagne, two wine glasses, two candles, and two candle holders, and said, listen, go with your girl, enjoy the champagne, thank you so much. You know, I made friends with my homeroom teacher.
Yeah.
And, you know, as the years went on, you know, he didn't, you know how many people give their homeroom teachers champagne and glasses and say, go have a good time, you know. So he looked at me differently. You know, it immediately set a precedence that she's different. And again, I didn't do this from a conscious point of view. I just knew I need him on my side, because homeroom can determine whether I fail. It's like if you have three unexcused absences in your homeroom, you would fail all your classes. So we better make sure we have a good rapport, because I don't plan on being in school a lot, and I got to be able to get away with this. So how are you going to do that, Goldie? And I have always, when I was in fourth grade, I made friends with a teacher. I've always been able to hang out with teachers. Now, and I believe that in my soul contract, I'm an educator. That's why I do the show. That's why I'm with the kids. Not an educator from a, you know, you know, it's not about, I don't have to be in a scholastic academic arena, educator in that life. I want to educate people on, similar to the things like that George Cavallis talks about, in the sense of, I figured out recently, academics is really just feeding the matrix, you know, engineering, medicine, lawyers, accountants. I don't feel anything organic because if I wanted to learn those things, I'm capable of learning those things. I want to know the organics of our DNA, how we work our heart so we can become where our being can't be mind controlled. Because I know the heart can trump the mind. And as long as the heart can trump the mind, then all this energy and effort being with the GMOs and the HARP and the, you know, television doing a
yeah.
frequency and all, none of that matters if we're in our hearts. We literally, the heart's not controlled, the mind is. Okay, so let's start bringing awareness to, well, let's start losing our mind and gaining our heart. You know, because that's the simple answer, as opposed to fighting it on Capitol Hill and screaming where the crops are, you know, those lines in the sky. You know, I don't put a whole lot of energy there, because as long as you're putting your energy there, it's going to kick your ass. That's the point.
Yeah.
You know, Einstein, find the solution at a different level than the problem itself, because you have to. So the different solution is, pardon?
No, I'm saying that's a really wise statement.
Yeah, so, I mean, and so that's what I mean by, for me, education is all about, at least this lifetime, it's soul education, because what most people don't really recognize, but they're starting to because of the energy coming in, is the soul really is your partner. Like, I mean, it's a partner that has some amazing connection. You know, like, this is the soulmate is not another person. The soulmate is your own soul being connected to your ego, being connected to your conscious being, your human being here, connected to your soul. That's the soulmate connection everybody's looking for. It's just, it's been twisted and tweaked where we're looking for it in another. No, look for it in self.
I have
which
to say,
is similar
woo-hoo!
To what you were
that
saying.
One.
Yeah, exactly. We're flying tonight, babe. Janine, what do you got to say about that, sweetheart?
I'm all thinking lots of things that, you know, you just said, I loved what you said about the soul. And then I was thinking, wow, the clairaudient, because of the seal that I saw, and I was thinking that the ability to hear the soul of yourself and also of another, you know, like that to me is a gift that when, you know, just that, and I don't even, it's not really like I'm here, you know, you hear another's voice and you hear something within yourself, but it's actually the ability to hear that, the communication of the soul. And,
yes.
I mean,
and it might not be in a voice. It might not be in a...
No, that's where I've been as you guys are talking. You're activating all this. You're activating a lot of things in me, you know, like...
So Janine's experiencing what me and you are sharing, Kevin. That's wild.
She's so
receptive. I'm listening and I'm going off on all these concepts of, like, you know, I think... You know, talk about receptivity. Kevin's saying that comment about being open to these new ideas or these, you know, this language of the heart or whatever. I'm definitely in that receptivity place.
She's amazing.
That clairaudient thing and the seal and, you know, and I'm going, the new sensation of what, you know, love, but like, I know there's a lot more to learn about that or feel about that, but yeah, it's like I'm being activated by you guys.
I mean, it's total mutual giving, because I feel it so much from you. Listening to you, I feel a certain lightness, sweetness from your voice. It's just like,
right.
I love you.
Right on.
Thank you.
Exactly.
I love you.
And I love everybody else. I feel like saying, if anybody's listening, I feel like they need some encouragement. If they want to call in, right?
Yeah
we got a caller. You want to call her? We'll take a caller.
Yes.
Okay, 905. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, Goldie. How you doing?
We're doing good. Say hi to Janine and Kevin.
Hi, Janine Dennis.
Kevin. How you doing?
Hey. What's up, Dennis?
Hey. What's going on?
Greatness.
Well,
greatness
and love
it.
And receptivity.
Yeah, I just came back from a meeting with friends. and as you're speaking, and I'm so fortunate to be able to catch the back end of your show.
Hey, listen, as long as we don't fart, it's as good as the front end. I'm getting visuals. See, I'm visualing. That's I'm all about the visuals. So keep going, get that. So.
Yeah, no, it's just and no. Okay.
I need a fart button, Janine. I just realized that I need a fart button. Go ahead, Dan. We're being silly here. We're being silly. You bring silly to me.
No, it's all good. It's beautiful. And Janine, we spoke, you know, before, and
yes, we have.
And Kevin, you know, welcome.
Thank you.
Love to hear you. So I'd like to share my little experience that I had today.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm bringing it forth. And, you know, I'm not pushing, I'm not telling, I'm offering and I'm sharing. And the receptivity, like you were mentioning, Janine, is being received.
Well, listen, Dennis, just so you know, the receptivity is the divine feminine. That. Because Dennis is a friend of mine, just so I talked to him privately. And he's experiencing himself as the divine feminine, and it's like that is the reception. It's just another quote-unquote label for
mm-hmm.
it,
yeah.
But it is what it is.
Yeah.
Well, we are coming into balance, you know, within the masculine and in feminine. And,
I agree.
You know, even if you might be female, you hold a certain masculinity within yourselves as well.
Mm-hmm.
As being male, you hold femininity within yourself,
mm-hmm.
and it's being in balance. And you know, I find this very tremendous, and it's awesome. The energy that we are experiencing. Oh. It's phenomenal.
It is.
So you were feeling that today? You felt that today more than ever? Or you said you had an experience today? You were experiencing that?
Yeah, it's just with the gentleman in a meeting that I was in.
Dennis, share what kind of meeting it is.
Well, it's apparently...
Have some courage.
It's apparently an anger management meeting.
It's apparently. Sorry. From a subjective point of view, everybody that goes there, okay, thank you, Dan. It's anger management. It's a healing center. There you go. It's because other people understand anger management, so this is okay. This is a safe place to share, clearly.
Okay. Flat out, it was court ordered.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
And
right on.
I still love you.
And yeah.
There
and,
you go.
Yay. and anger came up. And I mentioned this. And the group leader said, "Well, this isn't anger management." And I said, "Okay, granted. But you brought the subject up. So I'm going to address this."
Mm-hmm.
And you know, know where it comes from, and I'm speaking with these gentlemen, and you know we are all dealing with our own situations, and you know what I had mentioned with them is that know where it's coming from, and you know respect.
Well, Dennis, where is it coming from in you?
Within me.
Yes.
You know, I don't hold anger. This is the whole thing.
Wait a minute. You just told me that you said to them they have to know where it's coming from. Do you know where it's coming from in you?
This is the whole thing, Goldie. You know, I don't hold anger. I resolve as it comes. Any situation, any conflict, and I resolve as it comes to me, as it occurs. And you know me, Goldie, is for me to be able to do what I do in my dream time, dream state per se, to be able to free flow per se. And yes, I do connect completely with nature, as you do, Goldie, as well.
Everybody here does.
Yes. And it's to negate subconsciousness and to appreciate our ego, my ego. I appreciate my ego. Thank you very much for giving me my individuality.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree.
And from there...
Well, ego is a part of... I mean, anger is a part of ego. If you can appreciate ego... Can you appreciate that anger is a part of individuality?
Well, I can appreciate and understand that. I just don't understand why people have to be angry.
Okay, wait. You know what, Kevin?
Well,
you take this. Yeah, I want you to take this.
Well, if he'd be open to hear my personal take, it'd just be that.
Sure.
It's my radio show. He doesn't have a choice. But Kevin,
well,
no. I mean, Dennis knows my way, so I'm open to hearing what.
Yeah.
You please share. Yes. Yes.
Well, the way I see it is as simple as he just mentioned. Probably the most simple point is it's ego. I mean, you can't. Anger is such a precious tool to the ego. It loves to use that, because once you use anger, you really, really separate the situation. You really, really separate yourself from life. So it really is. If it's not conscious in many people, because it isn't, it's a subconscious thing. They are doing that to really ultimately defend their sense of self and that view of separation that they have towards reality, because they're just not ready to embrace the unknown.
Right.
That's brilliant,
so,
Kevin.
That is
right on.
that's just how I'm beginning to see it.
Yep. No, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Totally.
That is where anger comes from, Dennis. That, I mean, the defense of separation. And that's why it's such a convoluted tool in the integration aspect, because it's really a tool that is supporting separation, not integration. But again, but it can't be, you can't kick it to the curb. That's still separation.
Well, of course.
All right, Janine, I'm going to throw this by you. What would integrated anger kind of transcend into?
Well, you know, I mean, where I picked up on, and this is, I think, something to really consider, I mean, I'm not sure I know that, you know, to answer that correctly, I'm not sure, but I love what Kevin said about, and this is really probably bypassing all that and going right to, like, the point of...
Go, baby, go.
Embracing the unknown.
Uh-huh.
Is, you know, isn't that what you said, Kevin? Did you say...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because ultimately it's our relationship with the unknown that, you know, I think bypasses everything. Like, I don't know if you really were to try to analyze what is this quote anger about, I would go more for looking at what is my relationship with the unknown. That's where I would go, because by really almost nudging up against the unknown, like imagine yourself sitting on a bench and the unknown is kind of near you, and you move closer and closer. You know, I think that you could almost, not that you would bypass the anger, but it really is almost going much more to the heart of the matter. What is it? Because that, to me, is where I would be interested if I was working with someone, and even if this was myself, I would be going, let's look at that. I'm curious. I want to know, you know, what is your relationship with the unknown, and, you know, what does that bring
up?
Well,
that makes sense. Because the anger is on some level the defense of separation, and it's also the control issue.
I also think it's almost like, I know this, you know, this may be a bold statement, but I almost feel it's like a false kind of turn your head and don't, you know, it's almost like a false distraction. Like, I would much prefer to take someone right to their relationship of the unknown and look at that and, you know, see where I mean, and I don't have anything after that because that that's a very interesting, that would, you know, that's where I would go. So.
Okay. Kevin,
yeah.
I want to hear more from you.
Well, if Dennis wants to add something now, I'll go ahead and let him on what he heard.
And thank you, Jeanine, with that. And thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Don't doubt
yourself. And when you speak in regards to the unknown, know within yourself, source
mm-hmm.
within you, and do not fear. And it's all pretty simple stuff.
Yeah.
You know, this is the whole thing.
Yeah, that's why 8 billion of us can't get it right.
Well, right away for me, as you approach the unknown, an enormous humility comes over me because I don't know, it's this relationship that's indescribable and yet I sense it. And I think Goldie brought up humility earlier and then Kevin added to it. And somewhere in here, humility is truly, like for me, what would be someone who, part of you that could hold your hand and walk you closer to the unknown. You know,
I agree with that. It's the underdog card. Humility, you would go, no, humility is not worth shit.
Well, you know what's funny?
What's it going to get me?
Yeah.
Humility is the strength card because it's true strength.
It is.
On every dimension. You know, and I would be the kind of, you know, person that would be very I would be very persistent to keep going back to humility and the unknown. And they'd be like, no, I want to talk about anger. I'd be like, let's go to humility and the unknown. So, you know, that's where I would keep on that focus. And I love what Kevin said about, and I know he, keeping open to that new paradigm of what's out there for you is, I think, magical, you know,
mm-hmm.
and so
yeah.
these are the new ways of thinking. I just think this openness.
I agree.
You know, so I feel like right as we're talking, mm-hmm. I feel like the old ways are just collapsing behind us, and it's these new
Woo-hoo!
Ways. And so yeah,
right
that's what I have to say.
thank you.
Go ahead,
thank
then.
Thank you, Jeanine. And when you mention humility, it's being humble, and you know, just to put an analogy out, and I'm sure Goldie, you'll have something to say about this. It's like it's like stripping yourself.
Just
naked.
So everybody knows, me and Dennis are like Oscar Madison and Felix Unger. It's just the nature of our relationship. We are
right.
The odd couple. Yes, go ahead, Dennis.
And it's like stripping myself naked and laying down on the road.
The family show. Keep it clean.
Okay. Well, no.
I'm joking. Strip.
You know, it's just showing myself and you know, and that's it. Humility.
Well, but do you feel strength? Do you feel strength when you're standing there in such a state of vulnerability?
You know, this is just my offering, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And coming back, and Jeanine was mentioning the unknowing.
Yeah.
And it for me, it's a knowing of who I am and where I am in my place in this time, in this here and now, and I will lay down expose. If someone has a question, I will answer. If you know, and that's it. I will not push, you know, and
yeah.
I will not tell. And this is what it is.
Yeah, and you know, offering is great, and you don't have to have anything past offering. Like, that's really,
right.
You know.
That is the completeness.
Yeah, it is
yes.
a complete, yeah, to offer something, and then that's plenty, you know, and...
Well, because we can't
know,
force change. That's why that's complete. You know,
right.
How it's
and
received
I also think
is
that an
not
offering
a responsibility.
Is just an offering, you know. It's like, it's enough, you know.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah, and you know, I just feel that I mean, this is just me saying this, but the unknown is a very safe place. You know, so,
I think it's a sacred space. I think it's a sacred
paradox,
space.
Yeah, but.
It
yeah,
is a
yeah.
paradox. It is. It is. And cause, well, I just got to share one thing. I remember having an epiphany one day and said to myself, what if the unknown is the unconditional love that I have not fully experienced yet? What if that is the unknown? You know, and then of course, I had click, 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 and it is. It's like,
Goldie,
oh, wow, there it is.
Goldie,
huh?
you're living it right now.
Well, I'm in the process of living it, yes. Because Dennis is always telling me, you're there, you're there, you're there. And I'm always referencing to him. For me, I'll feel whole and completely there when I am no longer vibrating physically in the third and fourth dimension. You know, when I have taken my body into the fifth dimension as a, you know, that's the standard of frequency. Because, you know, Kevin, you listen to George, right? I mean, that's how we basically connected, right, through George?
Yeah. I haven't listened to, as you know, so many things, but I've listened to a few interviews and stuff, yeah.
Okay, so, but you're familiar with him talking about the portals opening into the fifth dimension and,
definitely, yeah.
you know,
yeah.
that. So you know what I'm talking. So, Dennis, that meaning I know I'm there. I do know I'm there, and I'm starting to actually feel it as a, well, the way I see it is, it's underneath my mental games, there's a, and I feel it when I'm in the woods sitting on my throne, but meaning in the quiet of nature, which isn't so quiet, the wind blows and, you know, the birds mm-hmm. chirp and the leaves crackle and, but mm-hmm. I mean the silence of non-human stuff,
mm-hmm.
I am connecting literally, cellularly, in my whole being, I am connecting to this underlying current, and that is what it is, a current that mm-hmm. that the unknown is unconditionally loving, that I am absolutely in the fifth dimension, you know, where I don't eat, I generate my own light, you know, I am an ascended being. Mm-hmm. And it gives and there are, you know, there are some elements on my journey, just like I was saying, like the synchronicities and, you know, because, I mean, of course, I'm stoked I got a job. The money's coming in. I can pay my bills. I mean, I can feel it literally, though, that it's my ego that's fulfilled with this. My soul is stoked that I get to take care of a little baby for 15 hours a week without being, you know, without being hammered by, you know, some, you know, overbearing woman telling me how to do it. That, you know, mm-hmm. the soul just loves the idea that I'm playing with this, you know, masterful little 12-week-old being that's going to show me, you know, from an energetic point of view, you know, what's going on the other side? Because that's what infants show us, you know, through the radiance of their sheer presence. They bring the wisdom of home because they don't know so much of Earth yet. They know, everybody ignore those timelines, we'll go over. They know more of spirit than they do of you know, of the human experience. And yep. But again, what I said earlier tonight, but I have recognized that working on our human part, though, too, is really important stuff, too. It's important to know how to handle the influx of energy. I mean, patience the game of patience / impatience. Have you ever been around somebody who's impatient? I mean, oh, my God, they're... It's so challenging for me, just in the sense of, you know, you just want to turn and say, shut the F up. I mean,
yep.
It's going to, you know, the bus will get here. We relax already. And of course, as you're saying that, you know, when I'm realizing, well, see, I'm not relaxed. I am triggered by impatient people, and my blessed beloved Scott gets very impatient when we drive, and I'm just like, I mean, truth be told, when I'm alone in my car, I never really sweat traffic. I'm not saying I love it, but you know, so I got my MP3 players, I got my music, you know, I've got everything audio that I would have if I was, you know, lying in bed perfectly comfy and all that. So, I've created an environment that, okay, so we're not moving. Okay, we'll get there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, it's so clear to me. We'll get there. Relax.
When you mentioned that, Goldie, when you mentioned this, I just have to interject, and I apologize.
No, you're fine.
It's like the analogy that you just set up in traffic, and we might be in a traffic jam, or we might be, you know, the streets are clear and the lights
mm-hmm.
are green, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's a flowing. It is what it is. You know,
mm-hmm.
if we're in a traffic jam, accept it as that what it is. You know?
As divine, I agree.
And we'll still get to our destination.
Well, because there is no destination. In that moment, enjoying the stillness is the destination.
Of course.
I mean,
still relax.
Yeah.
Don't stress. You're
relaxed. Yeah.
Don't get upset. Don't let your blood pressure get up. You know, just enjoy the time that you have to be still, like you just mentioned.
Well, I mean, for me, it's impatience, and I believe that, you know, this has a lot to do with the conditioning going on. And
yeah, impatience is a hard thing to get over.
Well, and it's bred. Impatience is actually bred into the culture because everything with the instantaneousness. And it's not. I'm actually starting to realize that the way we shoot and direct our commercials and videos with these, you know, 10-second clips and then shoot to another thing and 10 seconds. Well, yeah, but it's literally programming the mind to have 10-second attention spans.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're programming it into us.
The natural world does not work that way. So
at all. At all.
It's very artificial. So
yes.
you sort of get out of there and go, you know, and train with nature. You know that.
Yes.
Thing.
Yeah. Right on. And that's a great word, entrain. That is exactly what we do when we go to sit in the woods, at the beach, on the mountain, you know, in the small spot of land that you might have, you know, outside in your apartment building. I mean, it doesn't take much to connect with the earth.
But you're absolutely right.
Go ahead.
Actually, now that, you know, just a little piece here, but not too much, I just think that another way to deal with anger is to go and train with nature, because
I agree.
You will shift, but you know, because nature will just shift some, you know, the rhythm, the vibration, because anger just doesn't jive with the rhythm of the natural world. It just doesn't, you know.
Yeah.
So I find nature, you know.
I gotta interject though. I don't know about anger not jiving with. And I say only because, I mean, you see lionesses get mad. Anger is in nature. I don't know if the reasons for the anger.
I don't know on human level of anger, you know. But I mean,
right.
You know, maybe
I get right. I think the reasons behind anger might be, you know, there are some that are conditioned to only humans and not animals. But
right.
Anger in and of itself, I think, is a part of the dualistic. And I say that because you see the animals get angry. I mean,
they respond.
I don't recommend safari then.
Well, and I'm telling you, because a good part of my shadow work had to do with anger and my not expressing it and yet my expressing it. You know, I mean, because what everybody basically knows, I'm not sure if you know this about me yet or Kevin, or not, but I'm very confrontational.
Yeah, you are.
I am. I'm not afraid of confrontation. I'm not afraid to get angry, and I'm not afraid to yell and scream. I mean, but I'm also not looking to just do that, you know, to expulge my my passion, so to speak. On right. You know, I'm not looking to scream and yell just at you to make me feel better. I mean, I just won't back down if you know if you're getting loud with your point of view. I'll meet you. I'll get loud with my point of view. Because that's who I am. And I think it's part of the declaration of self is that I know that's who I am. You know, I will stand up for myself.
When you mentioned that, Goldie, it just brought up a point that has been brought up to me a few times in the last day or two, is we can have a discussion or we can have an argument. And we got to pick what we're going to do. You know, do you want to argue or do we want to discuss? You know.
Yeah, it's a valid point. I'm still working on it. Because I happen to, you know, I grew up in a Jewish household and we were raised by people who lived in New York City, and New York Jews scream. I mean, it's all we do. You know, we don't really hit, we scream. And so I admit that it's part of my conditioning that I'm really learning, not necessarily not to raise my voice, but not to do it, you know, to learn how to make my intensity be felt without having to raise my voice.
There is nothing wrong with being passionate.
Assertive.
No, right on. Yeah. Assertive. No, and all of these are, because, you know, that's why, you know, if we say that, you know, I don't believe anger doesn't have a place in the rising of my frequency. Anger has a place in that, you know, I look at the women, you know, in the Middle East, and I'm, you know, in my heart I'm going, God, you beautiful beings, get pissed, man. Gather together and get pissed and say we won't be treated like this anymore. Because I see the divine feminine when it's not angry, you know, is just, oh, my God, so abused. And
I know.
I haven't experienced that abuse. I've experienced some abuse as a kid, but I got angry. Not as a kid, but as an adult. That was just part of my healing, and I cannot not acknowledge that because it is a part of my healing. So it might not be everybody's healing. I do acknowledge that as well. It might not be everybody's way to heal. You know, I'm part Klingon, for God's sakes. I'm a warrior. Warriors, personally, I mean, I like a good fight. Get up, let's joust. You know, because I'm, and I say that because I've had this jousting in me where when I was younger, I used to do it with I used to play pool. And, like, my brother would get into all these gambling pool games, and it'd be, like, the best out of seven. It'd be tied 3-3, and he'd go, okay, my sister's going to close. I'd be like, huh? You're like, really? You know, I'm, like, drunk at the end of the bar. But the truth is, I'd show up to the game, and I'd close because
that's,
I got, you
that's
know.
That's a movie.
Yeah, there's plenty of movies in my story. but I'm just saying that it was I guess it's there's a courage for the divine feminine to get angry. At least that's how I see it.
No, I understand. I understand what you're saying, Goldie. It's how we direct that energy is really key.
Yeah. I agree.
You know, and I'd like to ask Janine as well as Kevin. How you see, feel, these energies that we are experiencing right now, where they're going, you know, just to share, you know, I'm seeing a lot of things and just, for both of you, as well as you, Goldie, it is your show.
I know. Look at all of a sudden Dennis is interviewing. Sorry, babe. It's okay. I want to cut you off. I'll mute you. Well, I mean, part of it is we kind of answered that question, but I think a good way to say it, though, but a good way to do it, Dennis, is let's ask for closing statements from all of our wonderful people that are here and sharing, because you know, we're post hour, and I don't mind keep going, but so take as long as you want, you know, basically. So, a summary of whatever you want to share based on what we've already shared. So, That's how I would put it.
Well, I've been activated. It was a very activating radio show for me. As you two were speaking, and Kevin would deliver these words, and I would find myself, you know, being, I guess I was being very receptive because I was activated to feel things in a greater capacity. So, it was so enjoyable, and I'm always amazed, like on the Monday show and tonight, where out of nowhere these kind of recognitions come of, or noticings of something that I'm just understanding at a deeper level, you know. And tonight it was being open to just these new ways, these new feelings, these new understandings, and love really came in. So that was great. So thank you.
All right, wait, and also, Janine, give your contact information, please.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I have two websites. We have jlkimmel.com, K-I-M-M-E-L, and springtreepress.com. And love for people to visit and take a look. And thank you very much.
Awesome. Thanks, Janine.
You're welcome.
Okay. Thank you. Kev?
Oh, well, I'll just, the first thing I want to do right now is just take a deep breath of this beautiful breath of life.
Awesome. That was sweet. Right on. Good timing.
But, if I want to start with gratitude, thank you so much for inviting me on the show. I mean, like Janine said, there was great love here, really.
Mm.
And it was definitely my intention to express and feel this. And, you know, obviously the universe is listening, ask and you shall receive, you know, so... Mm-hmm. If I would say one of the most important messages, though, that's really on my mind right now, and Goldie, you pointed to it several times, it's really taking responsibility for the way that you feel.
Oh, you know, I love you, babe.
We project our emotions and things outside of us, and we don't own it, as you say. And we have to say, you know what? I'm the creator of my experience. I was gifted with this power of free will, if you want to call it, in a limited sense. I was gifted with this power to create. My thoughts have creative power. And just as I create anger, I can create humility, love, you know? So I would just say to believe in your power and express it, because you can and you want to. So, yeah, that's it.
Right on. Dennis, short and sweet, babe.
All right. Thank you. Take anger as an emotion. Recognize what it is, and utilize it, and put it forth in a positive manner. Switch it around per se, into a positive aspect. And again, it's pretty simple stuff. To know and source and trust and truth be told. And that's it. You know, it's pretty simple stuff. Janine, Kevin, Goldie, I love you. And life is beautiful. And I'm grateful to be here.
Thank you.
Kevin, where can people find you on Facebook? Give them your whole name, Kevin Gonzalez, but if there's other places or anything you got to share, meditation groups or anything.
Not necessarily. I guess that's a work in progress, but the Facebook is under Kevin R. Gonzalez, and they'll be able to find me on your page. And
right on.
I know that you posted up the link to the show. They'll be able to see me on there. So.
Okay.
That's about
all. But a work in progress. You know, we're keeping an eye on you. And if you're open, will you come back? Will you come? Because we're going to probably let go of, well, we're not probably. I'm letting go of another reality show, and we're going to do more spontaneous shows. with the Mystical Mother Earth show, but I mean, are you open, whatever the name of the show, are you open to coming back? Because it was a divine pleasure and a gift spending this time with you tonight, and I'd love to have you back.
It'd be insane for me to not come back, really. This is just great.
You rock, awesome. Brother! You rock! So, you know, my closing thoughts are, I love these roundtables. I love them. I think there's a blend, there's a spin, there's a flavor that we can't get alone. And, you know, I'm starting to understand the space between the destination is absolutely best experienced when it's in harmony. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I experienced here with you know, the three of us and Dennis coming in later on. I love the harmony. I love the shares. As long as we're open and we're, you know, open to the unknown, open to us not, because the whole idea is, you know, I can tell you is one of my major issues in life that I kind of feel relatively clear with is the need that I had this need to be right. I mean, that was a deep one for me. And, you know, there's a saying, would you rather be right or would you rather be happy? I'd rather be in the unknown and ecstatic. I mean, it's really not just happy when you let go of the need to be right. You can go ecstatic when you let go of the need to be right, because so much of what lies underneath what we believe we know is becoming our truth. So that's what I'm going to leave you guys with. You can still catch me. Oh, go ahead, babe.
No, I love that.
Yeah. I do too. Love it.
Thanks. Well, love you guys. That, you know, we're definitely going to do more of these shows because, in my humble opinion, it's not just Janine that's getting activated. We're activating, you know, the whole. The whole is being activated.
Yeah.
She's just our representative of it happening. So it's truly amazing. And, you know, this is the platform. Let's rock it, man. Rock it. R-O-C-K-I-T and E-T, you know, rock it. Like, let's explore. Let's go out to the unknown and, you know, pick up some samples. Talk to the neighbors out there.
Yeah, let's not place limits on ourselves. Let's believe in the impossible.
Yes, because impossible is actually I'm possible. And I'm right with that. Oh, yeah.
Good one.
Oh, yeah.
Good one.
Yeah.
And when you mentioned that, I just close it off, it becomes a knowing.
Yes.
And that's
yes,
it.
The unknown does become a knowing because it's an experience. It's just about, and it will become, it's a remembrance. Because we're just connecting with that field underneath, you know, the mental that's telling us we're not. So I love you guys.
I love
Thank you.
Too.
Thursday night. There's still Thursday nights until February 22nd. So I'm not sure what's going on next week. Who knows? I really don't know.
wherever divinity will lead.
Yeah, we'll see. But next Monday, 8 to 10, Janine and me, Mystical Mother Earth show. Be there, be square, or be square and be there. We love you guys. I love
good night,
you guys.
Everyone.
Good,
right,
night.
Good night.
Tonight was amazing. Amazing.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank
you.
Bye.
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 Night.
You've been experiencing another reality show with Golden Hawk. Another reality show is live Thursdays 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, or listen and be enlightened anytime that works for you. Questions or comments, email the show, goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. That's goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. Also, visit us on the web at www.anotherrealityshow.com. Remember, all you rule breakers, misfits, troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists, everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what is right with you. You see things others don't. You're hardwired to change the world. And unlike 9 out of 10 people, your mind is irrepressible and you were born to be a revolutionary. And here at Another Reality Show, we salute you.
stay amazing, and keep on flying. Good night.